There's a leak, in the boiler room. The poor, the lame, the blind. Who put the thief in the killer's case? Oh, killers, thieves, and lawyers. God's away on business, folks, and the only person left here right now is yours truly, the boss. Yes, you know what day it is, and you know what time it is. It's Sunday, and this is the time of what? The Mission Possible radio show. For the next hour, we're just going to be going from here to there and everywhere. First of all, I got to report, you know, the price of gold is going back up again, so that must mean that there's some business out there in the world. What business is that? Well, oil is at $132 a barrel. Now, what's important to understand about this, folks, you know, because the boss wants you to know every step of the way, and as I listen to these shows back, I kind of have to pat myself on the back, not to the point where I break my arm, but to the point where I am convinced that the intelligence that I am getting is that which is right up to date. And so, therefore, when I look at the price of oil today, here it is, Memorial Day weekend, when everybody should be thinking about driving and going and visiting and opening up the start, the beaches, the yachting season and all of that, people are now seriously saying, wait a minute, I only make $10 an hour. You know, I can't be getting into this holiday thing and the food prices. So this may be a day where I have to remember, but I will not be doing too much buying. Now, when you get a whole country and a nation, and this isn't just the poor that's now having trouble keeping up. Now we have the middle class, you see. So now we can turn the heat up a little bit and really see that the ranks and swellings of the disaffected American people who are trying to scratching their heads and say, how come it's happening now? Why is it so fast? And when will it ever end? And what people need to understand, what I want people to understand, is it's not going to end. $4 is not the end. Try $6 a gallon. That it will end $6 a gallon, because then we'll level off. But when you look at the futures and when you look at how oil is bought, you see, we're still enjoying that price that was 2 months ago. But soon, that price that they are paying now, which is the $132 a barrel, will soon become evident, and so you will see an increase in the price of gasoline as a result of this insane, you know, bidding and forcing of the price up, which serves the purpose of only those who are invested in oil, who are invested in OPEC, which would be the Arab nations, and God bless them, you know, I don't understand why they should have to increase their production, you say, increase their production because of our appetite, you say. Why should they squander their resources and sell it to us cheaply when they know that this is where it's at? See, now more than ever, America, you must really understand the game that is being played. This whole big mystery is just what it is. No mystery. You're listening to BBSRadio.com. You're listening to me, the boss, RJ, on the Mission Possible radio show. Yes, it's Memorial Day. I have to say it again, and I do remember. I know this. I can remember this, that there has always been within my world, in terms of diplomacy and everything else, that there is an equation that comes with the kind of situation we're seeing here today. As we memorialize war, as we memorialize the fallen within the war, as we begin to celebrate this weekend and we begin to look at all of it, we do know one thing. Have a war, you will pay later. You can have a war, you can pay later. All right? But this national debt, which is like out of control, like I said, it's out of control. And as it begins to look like we as a country are going to default on our national debt, that we are going to disappoint those who thought we were going to keep our word. And believe me, folks, there's enough historical precedence to see that America does not keep its word, you'll say. I mean, there was the Bretton Woods, the Bretton Woods conference, where we said, okay, the dollar is going to be it. If it's a game of tag, we're it. And I want everybody to just jump on board this here dollar, because this dollar will not. And if this dollar does fail, we're going to give you back your money in gold. That's what the Brentwood said. By 1971, we had squiggled and wiggled out of that there promise. All right? And that's where it's been since the 1970s. Squiggling out of a promise saying, you know, yeah, we sent you all those Marshall dollars, and now we're getting ready to just forsake you, and now we want you to believe in us because you believe that we will pay our debt, that we are capable of paying our debt. The thought of America not being able to pay its debt is what was the guarantee here, you see. But now we have cowboys in the White House, and when you look at them all, you can see them from 1980, you know, Treasury, John Connolly, all of these people just so close to each other. All of them have experienced something together. They all know something, you see, because the government was hijacked. Now, I'm kind of like on the cuff, off the cuff. I'm trying to really just give it to you as to how my mind works and why it is I think the way I do and the decisions that I make. They're based on the knowledge that I get. And that knowledge that I get is very important for me to disseminate it, you see. Like, I just got finished, you know, last week I was telling you about Ted Kennedy, and God bless him. God will bless him. I'm sure he will come to see the folly of his ways, and his whole family will get come clean and be redeemed, you see. But that, I don't know. But I like to read books, and it's not that I believe what I read in the books. It's that I must then cross-reference what I know and what I know to be true. And I just wanted to spend a little time, because this is Memorial Day weekend. I thought I might put a little thought in your head, something for you to remember. And that is that I, Boss RJ, am definitely hook, line, and sinker into this thing called Aristotle Onassis, this individual, Onassis. It has been my duty for a long time. And I'm talking like 1988, that I have been tracking this man and seeing his imprint upon the world. Now, when I say that, you know, when you say Onassis, you have to think Jacqueline Onassis, and you go, well, that's, and I say to you that there's a connection there, the Greek. There's a connection there with the French. There's a connection there with this here marriage that went down. And that connection had to do with the assassination, you say. Now, everybody knows that Jacqueline lost the baby, and the baby, she went on a little trip after it was over at her sister's suggestion and went on this man's yacht. Well, if you look at current events, you can see that the Republicans made a big deal of it back then. And when I say back then, all you have to do is type in Aristotle Onassis. See, I'm not going to do your work for you. I'm just going to keep on kind of whetting your appetite for where we are today. And you say, this is a story of people. This is a story of people who place bets. This is a story of people who don't fall in love, but are caught up in arrangements that suit purposes. And that even today, there are arrangements being made that suit someone's purpose, you say. And it's not for us to get lulled into a false sense of security that says, oh, everything is okay now, because we got different people now. It can't happen like that. There's not that kind of secrecy anymore. And I said to myself, don't say that. Because the very people that put the spin in are still here. That's where it gets so good. That's why I say to you that I don't buy this election. I do not buy the choice of candidates. None of them. None of them. And at this point, I'm just saying Ron Paul is my choice for the simple reason is that it's the long shot. It's what maybe God put there for us to decide, to go for the long shot. And even then, I'm kind of skeptical, because this mess is so big, folks. And I'm not trying to blow it up out of proportion so that you can see it. I don't need to do that. When you go to the gas pump, you can see that. When you look at your $10 an hour hamburger person, you can see it. When you're out there in the street, when you go to the doctor, when you go to the store, you can see it. When you look at what bought just 2 months ago and what you can buy with it now, you can see it. So it isn't that people are asleep. Oh, if there ever was a time when people are starting to wake up, it is now. Why? Because your needs are not being met, you know. And Obama, oh, somehow or another, this perky little Pollyanna politician. And see, our reason I'm not with him is for the simple reason is I can see how he got where he is today, you see. And like the NAACP says, mind is a terrible thing to waste. I believe that this mind is going to lay waste to America. And the reason I say that is because this mind lives somewhere between here and Alice in Wonderland in terms of what he is telling our college students on commencement day in 2008, reminding us of what it is that we have to do, but for who, you see. Once that man is elected, he's part of the federal process. Where are we in that process? When he takes that oath, he is then oath to us. I can't see that. I can see him being an oath to a shadow government, one that is behind him, ready to tell him what to do. I don't see it, America. And I've been watching a long time, you know. Oh, isn't this incredible? Today I'm speaking on the telephone, and it's going across the computers, and it's in and engraved in stone that the things that I have said are the things I have said. And at that very same time, I sit here and I'm reminded of what my father said a long time ago. Why don't you take some space program money and shelter the homeless and feed the hungry? Why not say no more war, please, and fight this battle against pollution and disease? Yeah. It's good. Now, for those of you out there, you know, I've been listening to these archives back, and I have not been happy with the sound. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, if there's anybody out there that may be listening, will you please call and tell them whether or not I'm too loud or whether I'm too soft or whether it's coming in, because I don't know. And I'm using a different phone this week, and I just want you to be able to hear me, and I want to show you all a little respect in showing you that I care, that I want to be heard and heard clearly. Now, as I said, I read books. And so this time, since, you know, Clinton, Hillary, that is, has spoken of the Kennedys, I thought it'd be kind of fun to go back, because there was a little time when Robert was still alive and Jacqueline was thinking about marrying Aristotle. And this is back, they got married in 68. And so this would be about the time that William Manchester is getting ready to publish the book, The Death of a President, which was a book that, in the beginning, Jacqueline was very excited to have written. And this is a book that was written, and it took many years for him to get his story straight, and he put it all together, and he published it in 1967. By the time he got ready to publish it, the Kennedys didn't want it published. Oh, no, they did not want it published. There was just too much in the book that anybody could see through after all that has been done in the time between 1963 and 1967 that had, they didn't need this story getting out. And part of the reason why that is, and for a lot of people who don't understand why it is, I think the way I do, is that when you read The Death of a President and you begin to read it, it reads like a fairy tale. And it has the code names of the president, and it has the code name of Jacqueline, which was Lace, and Lancer, and it had all of these Camelot, the castle, all these Camelot kind of character names for their codes on their telephones. And so he used those codes to title the different chapters in the book. So there's a one on Lace, there's one on Angel, there's, you know, as they speak. And when you get to page 555, and this is interesting because this, I believe, is the reason why Jacqueline did not want this book to be published is because if anybody who is a researcher gets to page 555, which is the chapter on passion in the book, William Manchester, The Death of a President, you turn to page 555, and right there at the top of the page, you begin to read, and it says, Rose Kennedy dined upstairs with Stas Radswell. Jacqueline Kennedy, her sister, and Robert Kennedy were served in the sitting room. So you have those people. The rest of the Kennedys ate in the family dining room with their house guests. Now, what day are we talking about? This is Sunday, all right? This is Sunday. Now, John F. Kennedy died on Friday, and he come home to Washington, D.C., was taken from Texas, which totally was against the law, to remove a murder victim and take him to the White House, where they didn't do it. But everybody can just study that, but right from there. But this is Sunday. Now, they're planning the funeral and all the state funeral stuff, the federal funeral stuff that they was going to go through. Now, Jim Garrison considers what happened on November 22nd, 1963, to be a coup d'etat. And he describes what a coup d'etat is, and this is a change in government without the permission of the people. In other words, it serves some people. And the only way that you can prove that a coup has taken place is that you have to occupy the office, the space of the fallen leader. You've got to prove that you are in charge. And on that night, they had dinner. And Rose Kennedy had it upstairs with Stas Radswell and Jacqueline Kennedy and her sister, and sister was Lee, and now she was married to Stas Radswell. He was a prince, a Polish prince, so you get all that going on. And Robert Kennedy, they were all in the sitting room. The rest of the Kennedys ate in the family dining room with their house guests, McNamara, Phyllis Dillon, not Diller, Dillon, Dave Powers, and Aristotle Socrates Onassis, the ship owner, who provided comic relief of sorts. They badgered him mercilessly about his yacht and his man of mystery aura. During coffee, the Attorney General, which is Robert Kennedy, came down and drew up a formal document stipulating that Onassis give half his wealth to help the poor in Latin America. It was preposterous, and in parentheses, and obviously unenforceable, and in parentheses, and the Greek millionaire signed it in Greek. This cannot be denied, folks, that Aristotle Onassis was sitting in the White House on November 24th, 1963. Now, people said, boss, what does that say? Well, I'll tell you what it says to me. It says that this man, who in 1954 was charged with felony to defraud the United States government by buying Liberty ships that were built by Alex McCone's company, you see, after the war, when they were sold, he put together a group of people that would put together the whole thing so that he could buy these oil tankers. And in the same man who was his lawyer on this deal was then the Attorney General, at the time when they charged him with these things. It's kind of confusing, but not. But you can see that the revenge in his heart for having been found to be a felon in our state, of being arrested. This is one of the richest men in the world, if not one of the richest man in the world, next to Getty. They always used to argue about it. And he sat at the feet of Getty. So you can tell yourselves how much money was going around at that time. And Aristotle Socrates Onassis was the man that John Kennedy and his father, Joe, visited on a yacht. And this, too, is part of history. before Winston Churchill thought that John Kennedy was a waiter and asked him for a drink. And he had to be corrected and told who he was. This is the life story and breath of this whole thing. You know, when you get down to it, you know, Teddy Kennedy, I hope, will one day say, yes, this is the man I begged not to kill me so that I could live to die a cancer of the brain. Aristotle, Socrates, Onassis was in the White House. This is major, folks. Now, people say, who cares? Well, know this. It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. One man is funding the whole party. Well, Aristotle Onassis is dead. Howard Hughes, he's dead. When Howard Hughes died and Aristotle Onassis died, that left a big vacuum of power within the shadow government, because it was about espionage, that we are able to even begin to see the glimmers of what's left through the Bush administration and how they operate, or through the Reagan administration and how they operate, because all you have to do is do your homework and you can see that there have been many, many assassinations and coups whenever these people get into office. And then when the Democrats come in, it dies down, and when the Republicans come in, it speeds up. And it's a pattern. Why? Because they're all in it together at the top, and it just filters down as a need to know. The CIA is not the all-powerful. Now we have to fear the NSA and the NSC and what they say, because they dictate to the CIA. All of it is being rerouted and recircumvented and just reinvented. And then here comes 2008. You have one man who graduated from Annapolis and is a Navy man, and you have one man who is a man, and this is where I want to come up with this, you know. All right, okay, y'all dying for change, but that's what the Republicans were offering us in 1952. That's what they were saying, time for change. You know, there's a mess in Washington. They were saying the Democrats had messed everything up. Clearly, the Republicans are just as guilty. It's all what it is. You see, this party politics, it's a darn shame that we, the people, aren't the ones who submit the slates, that we don't agree upon ourselves to nominate our people, that it be a people's party again. The way computers are today and the way everything works, you could possibly come up with some way in which people could put, you know, if it's got to be a popularity vote, because it comes down to that, you know, it will come to the surface as to what we're looking for, you know. And I'm not looking for somebody like Obama to take me back down memory lane and be compared to fallen leaders who were just as dirty as when they were alive. I believe that Kennedy was not a great anything. He was just a man. He was a politician. He was trying to get through it. His daddy told him this. His brother died in an airplane, you know, blowed up. You have to look at the fact that Roosevelt's son was taking the last picture of Kennedy's son when he got blowed up. All of it is what it is. They put these people in these places. Can't you see it? You watch television, Mission Impossible. You see all the clandestine counterintelligence, counterinsurgency. You think they're just making it up and writing movies about it? Or is it possible that these things really do happen? That even wiser presidents are in on assassinations? And that everybody gets paid off, and everybody gets rewarded. You know, Jim Garrison, he realized when he did his whole thing with Permadex and tried to get Clay Shaw, that he realized that all these people who had been working with Oswald at the coffee company and other places like that all got rewarded with, guess what, NASA jobs. That's right, in the aerospace industry. The only industry that branched off from the Defense Department and created its own agency so that it could do what it does, which was to be a place, a clearinghouse for all the paperclip scientists and whatnot that were working on all of these things. You see, when you really look at it, America has always been behind in their technology and have always stolen. We haven't really come up with too much of anything. We're always stealing the ideas from other people. Case in point, one can look at something as incredible as AIDS and see that Robert Gallo stole it from, you know, the Pasteur Institute, they're being all nice and saying, yeah, work on this with us. We're going to work on this together. And the next thing you know, he's copying it and taking credit for discovering it so that he could then, you know, run to the front. And now he feels cheated and feels like nobody really listened to him and blah, 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 blah. And I'll show you. And I'm telling you, we are in a mess. And this mess has to do with man. It ain't got nothing to do with God. Not at all. None whatsoever. You know, I was looking also, you know, a lot of people probably ask themselves too, you know, when you think about history, you think about the fact that Castro has been in power all this time, and you wonder, why is it? How is it? And I say to you, well, it's always been my knowledge that he's been a CIA working, and I think that they had come to some terms with it, and that's why the hate for him is so great that they can't wait for him to die, because they can't do anything with him when he's alive, because he may talk. And when he talks, he'll be talking about how we, as early on, as an agency, which is the Central Intelligence Agency, was backing him against Batista when the whole thing was getting ready to get started, and they backed Batista through the OSS. So what you have is this family agency that has been trying to keep afloat. And what agency would that be? That would be the CIA, which is George Bush, you see. There's a reason why his name, not Sullivan or Colby or Casey or anybody else's name, men who held the job longer than anybody and longer than him, it's his name that is on that building. It is he who never seems to be able to know, or no one is able to see his appointment records. It is he who denies being in place. It is he who denies being the Bush, that there are many, many George Bushes in the world, and it ain't him. This fixes them. Oh, this fixes them. And each time they can slide away and get away with it, you know, it just becomes one more slap in democracy's face, and the kind of democracy that we live in. I don't know if anybody wants to really stand up and be proud about it. This is the big thing, you know. That's where I'm really trying to find out what country were you living in, Obama? Every time I look at it, I see scandal. Every time I look at it, I see deceit and deception. Every time I look at it, I see offense. Every time I look at it, I see wars of commerce. Every time I look at it, I see unnecessary, untold death. I see it. And yet somehow or another, none of you see it, and you're all just happy to be Americans and be here, and you don't want nobody talking about America because it's not American. And I'm like, well, your need to be part of the international community so bad that you want me to retell history and shut up about what I've experienced so that you can put the right spin on it so you sound good. What this man is preaching is stupid. All right? Social Security, it's dead. You can keep pumping it up. Stick a fork in it. It's dead. I don't even understand how politicians can't even see it. I can't even understand why they don't allow. Okay, tell you what. No more on the rolls. Bad idea. I'll tell you what. Find the money to pay, to take care of those people that are already paid in, but try and come up with something else. Now, privatization, that'd be wonderful, except for one thing. Put your money in a bank, it's no longer yours. And the fact that the banks can default and that they can disappear and you're left out in the cold, you know, you can't even really see anybody insuring anything, can you? This is what it's all about, folks. We are down a hole, and this hole looks like darkness. And in it all, there's beams of light that radiate, and somehow like lightning in the right time can show you the way. So you can either close your eyes to the lightning, or you can keep your eyes open and see when that lightning strikes, you can see the door and go through that door. Now, a lot of people out there that are listening, yeah, you know, it's been hard. It was a cold winter. Now on top of this, we have this situation that somebody's purpose to have everybody being pushed into this whole energy crisis. And this reason that we're in this energy crisis is because of our government officials' inability to meet with the truth. These very same people that are running. I don't understand why they run. But I know one thing. They're going to learn how to run when the people find out what kind of mistakes and selfish mistakes they have made. Nobody wants to touch Social Security. Nobody wants to talk about it. So now they talk about privatization. It's a thought. But what about this thought? This is that before you start bailing people out, see if they can't help themselves. Before you start trying to legislate volunteerism and get people to do things and whatnot, you need to see if people will do it for themselves. It's for me to say that part of what I want to hear these candidates say is to say, government, get out of our backyards. Government, get out of my business. Government, get out of my health. Government, government, government. I'd rather do without and try and do with what is surrounding me and around me. This idea that we have the central government that then farms out all the... It's not working, folks. It's not working. And now, because it is now corporate, we now know that it has become somewhat fascist. So there is a crisis. And that crisis has to do with how we, as a country, are prioritizing our needs. I don't know how much we needed to go to Mars and land a vehicle there with a robotic arm to scoop up the dirt and analyze it to see if there's any life on Mars. Need to have that explorer come back down here and scoop up a little bit of dirt and tell us if there's life still left here on this planet. This is the thing, you know. I am trying to understand why it is that man seems to think that he has to go out into space when he's already in space and can't handle what he's got right here in his front yard. You know? All of these things, you know, I'm kind of hard on Robert Callow, this, you know, because he's received so many awards for being a co-discoverer or discoverer of AIDS, and I also know that this man is he was desperate for money, and then he started getting the money, and it's kind of funny because the whole thing got stupid back in 84 where people were trying to take credit for discovering the dang thing. And in discovering it, the people created more of a problem. And I don't understand why people can't see that, you know. And in doing it, you can see that our government and those intelligence agencies, everything that they see, I've told you this before on other shows, everything they see as a weapon. Everything is a weapon. If they discovered a virus, there's another side that's going to try and see how they can get it into the public so that they can then come up with a vaccine that saves everybody or sends everybody even further down the line. This is a truism, folks. But for a moment, I'll just identify myself. I am Boss RJ, and this you are listening to is the Mission Possible Radio Show. And this is bbsradio.com. And I also want to let you know is that there's something going on with Dr. Len and Don Nikoloff and Reverend Roxy Hampton and another man named Charles, Sir Charles. I'm at a loss to know what his last name is, but we all going to get together because Dr. Len got an opportunity, and you know about opportunities. They're never missed. Other people get them. And he is coming up with a new program that will be over the Republic Broadcasting Network, that's a Patriot radio station. The particulars are escaping me, but you can contact Dr. Len at drlen.com, drlenhorowitz.com, and ask him, you know, email him and say, what you doing, Dr. Len? I heard you're going to be on 5 nights a week now, you know. Yeah, we are, and that'll be 11 o'clock Central Time, and I'm hoping that you'll follow us and want to hear our they have archives too. You can just go into the archives and hear. There'll be some conflict because we're on both BBS and I think it's fantastic, BBSradio.com, and there'll be our show going on that other network. And so that just means that Dr. Len will be able to get out to more people, and I'll be able to share my research with you, you know, because we're all into trying to prevent, and I'm hoping that there is some interest in preventing genocide in the time that we know it in the 21st century. And it is such a new word. It was defined in 1943 by a man named Raphael Lemkin. I call him Angel Raphael, and he's the man who put the two words together, genos, which is family, tribe, or race, and acido, which is side, that end of the word, homicide, this word, to massacre, to kill. So to kill a family, to kill a tribe, to kill a race of people, and it is a crime against international law. By 1948, the United Nations had outlawed it. There are aspects of our society that can absolutely drive me crazy because they want to argue about the definition of genocide. I don't want to argue with anybody. I believe that it is wrong to kill anybody, and to kill people en masse is even more wrong. But that's what's happening, and that's what America is doing. We are out there killing people. We are out there killing them, and we are out there knowingly killing them just so we can see how to kill more people, because this is what it's all about. And if you don't believe that, then you know it is a carryover from the Reich, the Third Reich, that would be Hitler. They were into eliminating great races of people, and it became a problem because you just can't, you can kill people very easily, but you can't dispose of them very easily. And as the oven started becoming overworked, they had to come up with new and better ways to get rid of folks. And at the end, it was a desperate, hopeless situation. And many, many people died. There are a lot of people out here to deny the Holocaust. I am not one of them. And I also know that even today it is still a situation that they are dealing with. This is that if there is to be another Holocaust, they have much more efficient ways of getting rid of us now. And that is for you to type into your search engine and look up. You know, that's the beautiful thing about the web. There are no secrets. There are no mysteries. You can find out everything. Anything you want to know. This is true. You know, Don Nikoloff had a pastor on that was talking about, and I concur. I can feel something's got to change. I feel it. You know, I really do. And I remember, I may be saying it wrong, but I remember that there was an old Greek saying that said, when God is finished with man, he makes him demented first before he, you know, takes him out. And I believe that's what's going on now. I believe America is demented, you know, and as it will be shaken to the very foundation, it is then that perhaps we will rise up in the knowledge that God is powerful and that man should be humble and that we should learn to work together. Now, you know, part of Obama's speech was asking us what we can do for the country. Well, I guess the only thing we could do for the country is pay our debt, you see, the public debt, the national debt, the one that's being run up as we speak. And, I don't know if we can do that. I don't even know if anybody wants to do that. You know, I'm talking about Social Security. Go out there and ask some people. Ask some people. If you was given a chance to keep all your money, or you were asked to give up the money so that, and give it to somebody else so that you could get it back when you're like 75 or 80 years old, would you do it? Would you pay in? With inflation expectations to be going up faster than we know, we also know that eventually it's going to lead to what? Higher interest rates. Now, if you fixed, that's good. But if you're not, and for a lot of these loans that have gone out, they're not. Read your fine print. Now, that's just fine for gold, and that's just fine for oil, because those are the things that will then go to the highest bidder. That's the way it goes, so that's why it's going up in price. As countries who are more solvent than us, and their money is more powerful than us, they can proceed to make the bids and make those bids and come across with the moolah. They're starting to buy gold. They're starting to buy silver. They're starting to back up their treasuries with value. They're starting to tighten their belts. They're starting to look, and they're starting to shore up. Whereas all of us are still acting like it's happy days are here again. But you know something's up because even the mainstream is starting to talk about what's going on. They can't ignore it anymore. They cannot ignore the food shortages. They cannot ignore the expected food shortages to come in the future. Harvest can only be harvested so fast. And as the countries that are raising rice decide that they need to keep their rice, that which we were expecting to have won't be there. And that which we are growing won't be ready for some time. So you get these vacuums, these little pockets of nothingness where people have to make do. Even if oil goes back down, it will take a lot of people out in the interim, and it will take some time. So for the rest of 2008, we have nothing but a story of a developing inflation, of the truth coming out. And as we begin to deal with the community and the investment community starts to deal with the credit crisis and it's leading to inflation, you're going to have to see the interest rates go up. Somebody's going to have to take hold and do that which they know they don't want to do. And we have a dangerous and very, very poisonous combination here. And we're not groomed to understand economics. We're not. You know, we just know a dollar is a dollar. What is a dollar? You know, what is a dollar worth now? Well, it's going down. Well, it's certainly not worth a dollar. And someone has been saying that if you do it from the time when you look at what a dollar was back when it first was invented to now, they say it's worth like 4 cents. So our very richest of the rich are not very rich. And when all of it falls, and you say, oh, every week you're talking about the same thing. But I have to, because are you prepared? Are you ready to make penance? Are you ready to redeem yourself? You understand what I'm saying? This is important for you to ask. This is the reason why I talk on this radio show. This is the reason why I will continue to talk. I don't have much more to say. I've had a good life. I've seen it all just go down and down and down and down and down. Man's out of his mind. I can tell you this, if we get McCain as president, we certainly will have more liquor problems and more alcohol problems, and we'll never have a president who will stand up and speak for the damage that alcohol has done in American society, if not the world society, and speak about an alcohol-free society. Ain't never going to happen with McCain. He's hooked into his wife's money. And his wife's money come from alcohol money. That's Shenley. Yeah, Cindy. You know, these are the people that whose parents have made millions, if not billions. They have Anheuser-Busch Holdings and things like that, and liquor distributors. This is what he married into. So I don't expect him to be saying anything too much about alcohol. I think these things are important for us to look at, who these people are. I'm kind of excited. I haven't got my copy of Idaho Observer, but Don Nikoloff says that he has done it, that he has put it out there, and that it should be coming out. So I can't wait to hear what he has picked up for us to look at and to consider as we begin to look at this race 2008. I believe that they'll do a good job this year of fielding questions that they want answered and tasing in mentally and spiritually all people who ask questions that are difficult for them to answer. And part of that is, why do we live in a democracy where people can be assassinated? Why do we live in a democracy where people can destroy evidence? Why do we live in a democracy that taunts us in the name of freedom, that wants to limit our freedoms, wants to control us and treat us like children, wants to lie to us? and when they're found out, want to lie to us some more. You know, if this is a great democracy, then the world, you just need to say, forget it, America. We don't want no part of you. You know, Confucius say ignorance is like a night without stars. Why bother? That's very true. Hard to see your way or make your way in the world without stars. But the reality of it is stars are been known to fall. So watch out. That's very true. So here we are. I got my show coming up on 1 year. I cannot believe it. June 17th. I mean, I'm coming up on 1 year here at BBSRadio.com. And when I listen back to the shows and I know that one day I'm going to organize them and so that anybody that goes into the archives won't have to do what I do, which is just kind of like, guess what is she tripping on now? But if you look back and you look at the events, and you go back and you look at the events of 2007 and then you listen to the show for that week, I think that you'll find that I have kept up to date and up to pace with my sayings and my observations and the observations of my fellow compatriots, Dr. Lynn and Don Nikoloff. We are all out here in search of the fascists, and we don't have to look beyond our own legislature to see this in action. And I don't know if anybody else out there agrees with me. And basically, I want to tell you something. Because I'm so independent in thought, it really doesn't matter to me whether you agree with me or not. I have to say these things. Who am I? I'm just another voice. Who is BBSRadio.com? They're there to give me that right to speak, and that's a beautiful thing. Yeah, it's Memorial Day, and my family upstairs is going to have a party tonight. We've got babies, and we've got future generation here, and we have a closeness that is the most I can ever hope to have as a family, is the community around me. I am one who gets sentimental about Memorial Day, not in any other way, because I remember so much family going on. It was the beginning, it was the official for us, beginning of summer. And so we would get out all the beach stuff and get ready the barbecue and clean everything up. You know, that was America, and you went and you visited your family and whatnot. So, you know, America, you got to take stock in what's going on, you know. It's really important that you do that. It's important that you see the future for what it is. And what it is very uncertain. And there are lots of surprises. We've given a lot of our power up to some people that don't deserve to have the trust. So it's for us to make sure the next time we hand this baton, to someone, that we make sure they want to be in the race and that they understand what it is that we want, which is our freedom. And it's not something we should be asking for. It's something that should be ensured. And I don't get that feeling when I be listening to Obama that he has gone to liberate America. I don't even think any president, it doesn't matter who you elect, is going to liberate us from this mess, because we owe too much. Uh-huh. And someone has to pay for the insane playing. I was just talking to my friend, you know, he's all up and Dick Gregory's talking about KFC. And I think it's kind of interesting because it does bring to the forefront this whole thing of transgenic genes, transgenic technology that has, you know, chickens being different from the way they used to be, you know. And they are describing chickens that don't have no beaks, no feathers, so they don't have to be plucked. And they're crossing these here chicken genes with human genes, and they're coming up with, you know, these new pharmaceuticals. And I think next week, and also a focus of a show on the Inside Hour, I'm hoping to convince Dr. Lynn that we should look into this whole idea of transgenic genetic altering of our food and of the animal world. I mean, when you look at Genesis, a friend of mine was telling me, you know, you look at Genesis 1:26, and you can see that God gave us dominion over all the animals. I don't think he gave us permission to alter their genetic codes. I don't think that's what God wanted us to do. That's playing God. You know, he put everything in motion, and we're supposed to just care for it. And Now, you know, we don't know, but now they're able to track a cell that they create, patent that cell, and trace that cell, like from a chicken to a kid, from a chicken to a child, have it travel millions of miles in the food chain and end up in some child's body, and be able to take that child's blood and find that marker in that child. That is incredible. That's the kind of progress that speeds us up and creates no more time. You know, you've used it all up in one big fell swoop. Yeah. It's important, folks. It's important that we talk about these things. That's why Mission Possible is on the air. I'm here to say the things that you may not have thought about, but you better the next time you go to eat an egg or the next time you go to buy a pharmaceutical. They even getting so clever with it, you know, people. They even spell farmer differently now. They have a new kind of way to spell it. It's spelled with a P. Get it? Pharmaceuticals, farmers. Yeah, this is the way it goes. They are doing it. By the time we know about it, it'll be 20 years from now. And it is too late because it's already introduced into the food chain and it can't be called back. It just goes from there. And that's the truth of the matter, folks. And there's all kinds of agencies that are on the stock market right now that are just doing a booming business trying to pretend to feed and care for the people. You know, there's a guy out there, my friend was saying, you go look, you see it. There's a guy out there that's really at the forefront of this whole thing. His name is James Pettit, and he works out of the North Carolina University, and he is one of these transgenic people. And what he says, and plain and simple in the quote, it goes like this, folks. We're putting these stem cells in different places and seeing where they end up, unquote. In other words, they are trying to see if they can track the genes of these branded cells and see where they go. What is that, folks? You know, that's like premeditated serendipity. In other words, you're just going to do something and then just see what happens. And if you can learn anything or create anything or gather anything, you gather it all up and you do. But what about all those mistakes out there? It's not a scientific way of being, folks. I know this. I know this. You know this. And what happens? What happens, folks, when man sinks below the animal, does the unthinkable? What happens to our place? We are no more like God. Yeah, I think that's what you mean? That we should experiment and that we should mutilate and mutate so that we can find out how something works or whether it could be used for something else to discover. You see where I'm coming from, folks? This is why it's important that we talk about these things. And if you're not talking about them with me, I'm hoping you're going to talk about them with somebody. This is what's important. And I hope that you will listen to the Inside Hour this week, because we are going to continue our discussion on this thing called AIDS, because, you know, now that Reverend Wright and all these people are being talked about and people are starting to take up sides, one more time, let's see if we can understand how this all came down. Because as we speak, nations in other places are being decimated by this insane plague. Yes? And we we need to prevent this kind of scientific exploration. I think that we need to have more oversight committees on our intelligence. I'm hoping that these are the things that I will hear in this campaign of 2008. Dream on! Dream on. That's what they tell me all the time. Just dream on until your dreams come true. Yeah? Well, I done told you. And that's that. So in the future, as we come into June, you know, and I love that Who song. Well, I get a little tired of having to say, do you come here often? There's a symphony that I hear in my head, keeps my head reeling when I'm in June. And yes, Ride in Tune, celebrating 1 year on the air, talking about things to you out there, just maintaining my Godhead and my presence and my patience and my forbearance and working on my mercy and forgiveness. Yeah. And not hesitating to say what needs to be said. It's just to say, you can't beg nobody for your freedom. You must stand up and you must express it. You must just feel it. You must just possess it. And nobody gonna give you nothing that you don't already have yourself. And pump yourselves up, folks, because your self-esteem has got to be on high now. Now, these are some uncertain times. And we have some youngsters out here thinking that they can deal with it. And I'm talking about Obama. I'm talking about him. I'm talking about him because, see, he's the most incredible invention of this whole political situation ever to come about. You know, just for a moment, I really want you to understand how he became senator. I'm going to say it again. He ran against a black Republican who was from Maryland, who had to be brought in. What is this, folks? Wake up. Wake up. It's not time to hibernate. It's time to really understand how the forces at play are playing with us. This is not good, folks. I mean, but tell us how you really think, boss. I think we deserve better. And I certainly think that we are in a position where we have got to pay attention to past history, and we cannot let people say, so what, that happened 100 years ago. It's important that we see the whole thread and the whole color of the tapestry of history and how it all plays a part in our now. And that now tells me that America is in serious trouble, and the only thing left to do is for us to pray. So in that way that I pray that we all respect one another. I pray that you keep to yourself, and on election day you'll vote for whoever. Stop answering all these polls. Start thinking about growing more food. Start thinking about how you can take advantage. Oh, here's the other thing. Boss is getting ready to order the water kit, you know, to convert your car so that it'll burn the water, you know, Brown's gas. Don Nikoloff was talking about it. Well, it's not enough for us to talk about it right now. You need to research it, and you need to get the conversion kit. You need to get the book, and you need to just do it. Prove it to yourself. There's something that the boss talks about. It's called EAG, Experience, Identify, Analyze, and Generalize. Well, this is what we're going to do this week, and I hope to be able to talk to you. As soon as I get the book, I'm going to try and get the parts, and I'm going to try and turn my van, which only gets 11 miles to the gallon, so you know I'm desperate, and try and increase that gas mileage. And I'll go out and buy me a little used junk car, and I'm going to adapt that to burn water, and I'll get back with you, and hopefully even maybe a little video to show you that I was able and I was successful. This is what it's all about, folks, because we have got to come up with ways to deal with this energy so that you can even begin to see your kids going to college. It's so nice that that Obama wants to offer all the people a tax break, you know, to want to go to college for $4,000. Where is he going to get the money? See, you keep on talking and you keep on talking. And it's all pie in the sky during the time that you're having the race. But when it comes time to deliver, who's going to be like Chicken Delight? Don't cook tonight, call Chicken Delight. Well, just don't believe these people. They'll say anything to get elected. And anybody that wants to be president of the United States is certainly suspect in my book. And with that, I'm going to say aloha, because guess what? We are at the hour's end. I know I run a tight ship, and I don't want to go over, because Monday, I'm going to be syndicated. You're listening to Mission Possible Radio Show, and you're listening to the Boss RJ on BBSRadio.com. I want you all to have one sweet week, and hurry up. Don't believe the hype. Just believe in God and keep the faith. Good night, everybody.